The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens. This is the Epic Podcast, episode 43. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we're back, ladies and germs.
Oh,
waka waka.
The weather is beautiful.
Yes, it is. The weather's been particularly nice here in New York City.
I feel before we say anything about what has been going on, this is the month of May.
Yes, it is.
This is the month of many things. Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
May Day.
May Day.
A strange, rapey holiday that is thrust upon children.
What?
You know about May Day?
No.
Did you not? Was that not a thing growing up?
No.
Oh, my God. When
What's
I was growing
May
up, May Day is a holiday that happens on May 1st.
Okay.
And this is what would happen in grade school. If you liked somebody, you would make them a May basket.
Right.
And that's like a little shitty paper cardboard basket, and you would put in like candy and popcorn and things like that.
Really?
And then what you do is you go to their house.
Oh, dear.
And you ring the doorbell.
Uh-huh.
And then they come to the door, and you give them the May basket. You say, May Day. I don't think you actually say May Day, but you give them the May basket.
Right.
And then they're supposed to chase you, and if they catch you, they kiss you.
What happens if they don't chase you?
I don't really know. This was a tradition that I don't remember past grade school, which, let's point out, this was a thing that was in grade school. People's parents drove their children around to their third grade crushes so they could chase them in the yard and attempt to kiss them.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, who chased who? The giver or the givee?
If you receive, you chase them.
I see.
So basically, if you give them a basket of candy, you're kind of asking for it.
Oh, I don't like this.
Anyway, so it's May.
Yeah.
The month of Memorial Day, the month of this horrible holiday. Wait, do you have another thought about May Day?
Well, May 1st is also in the circus tradition. 1st of May is a big deal. It's generally speaking, it's when traditionally when a lot of the circuses of old would start their summer tours. You know, and also the term a 1st of May refers to the newest member of a circus troupe.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is maybe why May is referenced in things like a May-December romance.
Yeah.
Between
partners
with an age gap. The younger one is May because they're new and.
Right. Yeah. When I was when I filled in at the circus, everybody there would. My nickname was 1st of May.
Also the 1st of May.
Yeah.
As many of our listeners know, means that outdoor fucking starts today. I mean, I know that was popularized in a Jonathan Coulton song, but that's an old expression.
Okay. I also did not know that was a thing.
Do you know the John Coulton song?
I do know the John Coulton song, but I did not know that was an actual thing.
It means on the 1st of May also that there will be a heavy circulation of Justin Timberlake memes.
Sure. Yes. Yes, that's true. I didn't actually understand the Justin Timberlake memes. I had to look it up.
It's because it's an old NSYNC song.
No, I get it. Guess what? It's gonna be May. No, I get Yes. But I literally had no idea what they were referring to. I didn't get the joke. I looked at it and went, oh, huh. That's a thing that I guess the internet assumes I understand.
More importantly than all of these other holidays.
Sure.
Most importantly, among these other holidays.
All right, lay it on me.
Is that May is the month of the birthday of New York
City-based...
Mr.
T.
New York City-based magician Fred and storyteller and podcast host and chronic interrupter, Nelson Lugo.
That's true.
Happy birthday, Nelson Lugo! Bum, ba bum, 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 yeah!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hate my birthday.
If you failed to send social media greetings to Nelson Lugo on his birthday, which was May 10th, you can send them belated to epicpiecast@gmail.com.
That's epicpiecast@gmail.com.
So this is like a golden episode. Do you know golden birthdays?
Why?
You have one golden birthday.
What's that?
It's when you turn the age that is the date. Your golden birthday was when you turned 10.
I see.
Mine is when I turned 14.
Oh, okay.
But this episode...
That's true. I am the same age as this episode number. Yes. It is a golden birthday of sorts, I would imagine.
How was your birthday?
It was lovely. It wasn't actually celebrated on the day. I was surprised on the Sunday before. My partner was in town, and she and I did some fun things over the weekend, but she told me that I had to be ready for an experience at 11:30 in the morning.
Is that how she set it up? An experience?
Yes.
Okay.
That we were doing that I needed to be ready to go somewhere by 11:30 in the morning and to have an adventure or an experience or something along those nature.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then, so we went to another neighborhood in Queens, a neighborhood I'm very familiar with. And we went to a diner. And lo and behold, Schaefer the Dark Lord and Buddy Buxom were there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And we ate pancakes and waffles and steaks and eggs. And then
we drank a bunch of booze.
We drank a lot of Sunday brunch booze.
11:30
It is. By the way, I'm going to put a Grinchy plug for Mike's Diner in Astoria, Queens. It's actually a really lovely diner. Lots of really classic diner food done really well. But their cocktails taste like ass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're horrible.
That's not even the name of the establishment.
Mike's Diner?
No.
What was it?
Michael's Restaurant.
Oh, shit. I got some of it right.
All right.
Michael's Restaurant. And the what did I have? I had a Bloody Mary. Yeah. And it was just horrible. It was just a horrible, horrible.
You had two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were horrible. Well, because there's booze in it.
It wasn't horrible.
It was pretty horrible.
I've had better Bloody Marys, but it wasn't terrible.
It was the worst Bloody Mary I've ever had.
That sounds like a terrible adventure.
No, because then afterwards.
What happened then?
We went to the movies.
The movies?
Yes. And we saw. Doesn't matter. We saw Captain America Civil War.
Yes, Captain America
and Civil War.
And then...
Wait, this was the third Captain America movie.
That's what I said.
Oh, is that...
That's French for three.
Oh. Okay. We watched it, and we had a time.
And then we went to another bar.
Yes.
I only bring this up because I don't know how the rest of your adventure Sunday ended, but I know that I was surprisingly wasted.
Yeah, so was I, actually.
I was maybe even a little shitty. I might have passed out when I got home.
Damn.
Happy birthday.
No, I did not pass out.
I don't want details.
I got a birthday present.
Okay. That's... Tangelo.
Nice call.
Previous listeners of the podcast will know that is Nelson Lugo's safe word. Anyway, but we saw Captain America. How'd you like Captain America? I'll quit saying it in like cutesy
Captain
endearing ways.
Captain America?
Yeah.
I liked it. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. It's too much. It's way too much. It throws everything at you. So much happens. And it's hard to follow sometimes because there's just so much happening. It's interesting because I was actually thinking about this the other day. It's a lot like Batman v Superman in that you have these two good guys and the whole point of the movie is that they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And Captain America Civil War does it better.
Yeah.
Just as long,
Yeah.
And with you know, a fuck ton more characters who mm-hmm. actually end up shining really well. Mm-hmm. And it does it better. You know, it sets it up really well. There's a lot of plot. There's a lot of buildup. You see everybody's motivations make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's justification whether or not you agree with it. Like, you can at least see it from their point of view. You know, disagree or agree, you see, like, oh no, I see his point. He's making some valid points. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I also loved the introduction of Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a fantastic addition. I would have loved to have seen more of him. And I think he's getting his own movie now, so that's mm-hmm. going to happen. Yeah, even Black Widow kicked fucking major ass.
Always does.
You know,
that was the first time they used her little wristbands.
Yeah.
In the MCU.
Yes.
The little wristbands that are pretty much a consistent part of her character in all the comic books.
Right, but have not been used. But I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. It's flawed.
I don't know how flawed it.
But I liked it a lot. I definitely enjoyed myself, and I would very much like to see it again.
I liked it so much more than the second Avengers movie.
Oh my God, me too.
I mean, that for me too was just overwhelming and too packed and convoluted and confusing for me. And I felt that Civil War was a lot more digestible.
Yeah.
And there were more characters that were all given, you know, proper stage time or screen time to establish themselves. And I felt that they managed that much more successfully than they did with fewer characters in Ultron, because I think they just had too many storylines and weird origin stories that they wanted to write in. I thought Civil War was great.
This is another instance where I believe, like, I don't. This did not feel like a sequel to Captain America, but felt like a sequel to the last Avengers movie.
Yeah, it did.
You know, which is fine.
They tried to push him to the front a lot of the time, but
no. I mean, a large part of the movie isn't his particular point of view. I mean, a lot of stuff that happens are because of the choices he makes.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tony Stark is pushing his agenda pretty damn hard throughout the film as well. So, you know, but I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I did too. I thought Black Panther was also amazing.
I fucking love that guy. I love his character.
Solo movie?
I liked Spider-Man, and I actually like this Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I like this incarnation of Spider-Man.
Okay.
They didn't need him. He felt kind of shoehorned in.
I thought that they did a very delicate dance with that, because it could have just been a announcement to the audience. Hey, look, we spent millions of dollars and we bought our character back from Sony, so we're going to start using him immediately so we can set you up for another solo movie.
Yeah.
That said, I know that that's what I expected it to feel like.
It felt
more natural, and it felt like it made sense that he was there, and I was just shined by how much I loved him.
No, he's great.
I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
He's great.
And Peter Parker and his introduction into it. And
yeah, all of that was handled really, really well.
What he contributed to the fight.
Yeah,
very funny. I thought he was excellent. It didn't feel gratuitous. It didn't feel like, you know, Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Right.
Or Doomsday in Batman v Superman.
I enjoyed it, but I also felt, it also took me out. It was like, oh, we're highlighting Spider-Man now. And it just felt Spider-Man for the sake of Spider-Man rather than the furthering of the plot, which is, you know, and I think, and again, it's just sort of emblematic of how this movie had so much in it. It was just subplots on top of subplots on top of subplots. And
I also liked really seeing Ant-Man in it and Ant-Man's cool reveal.
I liked that a lot.
To our listeners, I would like to announce whenever the last episode was that we had Lucas Siegel on,
sure,
he spoiled that for, or he didn't spoil it for us. He gave us that little tidbit. We knew that Ant-Man reveal was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you, Lucas Siegel.
Oh, Lucas Siegel gets it right.
But I thought that was excellent.
And that's an instance where I didn't feel like it was shoehorned. I thought it was absolutely appropriate that he was there. And I don't know why. I guess it's just a feel thing, I guess. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
I liked... I think the reason I liked the way they brought Spider-Man into it is because instead of making him... He didn't become, like, really necessarily the rock star of the scene.
No.
He became almost more like us, the audience. Yeah. He became, like, kind of a viewfinder for us because here's this kid who's, you know, he's getting asked to do this incredibly dangerous and important thing.
Oh, I see. And he's fanboying.
Oh, he just can't handle himself.
He can't handle being the
huge
fanboy.
Oh, my God. Tony Stark's asking him to do a thing. And then he goes and he gets involved in it. And he's just doing it. He doesn't have like a horse in this race.
No, not at all.
He's just being asked to do a thing and he's honored to do it. Yeah. And then he's there and now he's meeting everybody. He's like, oh, my God, you're Captain America. Like,
right. And as far as he knows, his only job is to slow them down as much as possible. He's not there to hurt anyone. He's not there to do any egregious damage. He's only there to slow them down.
I thought it was a good introduction to Spider-Man, and I thought it was good for us to point out that the sort of the moral conflict at the center of the movie wasn't just black and white.
No.
Like, depending on how it is told
to you.
Not
at all.
So you have this young, impressionable kid who has incredible powers, and he is brought on board, and he is told... Oh, he's just told.
Yeah.
Well, this is how things are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure thing, sir.
Yeah.
Which I would have been too. They could have easily made that. I mean, they could have made either one of those, the leaders of the two teams, Tony Stark or Steve Rogers. They could have made either one of them look more evil and one of them look more noble.
Right, right.
And they didn't. They made it a lot more complicated. And I think that they kind of needed him at the center of it, just going, I don't really understand all of this, but I like everybody. Why can't we?
I really like that he's in high school. I love that Marissa Tomei is Aunt May.
I love Marissa Tomei so much.
She is so beautiful. I've had a crush on her ever since My Cousin Vinny. And I'm so glad to see her working again.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited for that film whenever it comes out. But yeah, I like it.
That's it. That's the only thing that I watched that I cared about this month.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I'm still reading comic books. I'm still watching things. I'm still... You know, playing video games. I'm still hacking away at Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Sure. Did you see the trailer for Assassin's Creed, the movie?
No. Is that the Michael Fassbender thing?
Yeah, it came out.
No, today. I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it didn't come out today. It came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
I'm still doing that after all these years.
What?
Creating the illusion that this was recorded the day that it airs.
Yes. No one believes that this is recorded the day it airs. No one.
I just started playing a beautiful indie game, which I think you might have also, called Unravel.
Yeah, you actually texted me one night and said, you need to stop what you're doing and play this right now.
It's just gorgeous. It's an indie game. It's a platformer with some puzzles.
Yeah.
You play a cute little knitted red character who looks a little bit like Sackboy from Little Big Planet. In fact, a lot of it feels kind of like Little Big Planet because it's platforming and puzzles, and you are a tiny character
in a big world.
In a big world that's made of realistic things.
Right.
So even though you're jumping across a canyon, you can see that it's made of cardboard or a chair or something like that. You can see that you're a tiny thing. You know.
Right. So and you're swinging from like a plant to a bush to a chair to a. Yeah.
But what Unravel has is this really successful, powerful, emotional tone to
it. Oh, my God, yeah.
The story starts, you're in this house, and there's an old woman, and she's alone, and you are basically, you fall as a ball of yarn out of her basket.
Yeah.
And you become this little red yarn character, and you're kind of exploring her world, her backyard, the down by the water, various...
The tool shed, the...
Pictures on the shelf, tchotchkes everywhere, and as you go along, you are collecting memories of this woman in her twilight, whose family is apparently now gone. It's beautifully paced. The design is incredible. The music is pitch perfect. There's a profound sense of melancholy that one gets playing it, but it never gets
maudlin. You know, it's always very sweet, but the adventure aspect of it. Is actually really good. There's the platforming is really good, and the jumping and the swinging and the using yarn as your overriding mechanic. I mean, all of that's just dialed in so good.
It's a really good game. And
when you don't ever recommend a game to me unless like you're fucking gaga over it. And I can count the number of ones on like one hand. And you te- and I immediately downloaded it and I played like the first maybe 30 minutes and I'm hooked. It's yeah. great. It's a fantastic
game. Unravel, pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, what else is new with you now that you are in your 65th year? I meant 43.
The old jokes, really old jokes, Grandpa.
Look, I like the part of the year. There's 6 months out of the year that you are 2 years older than me. The other 6 months, you are merely 1 year older than me. Uh-huh. And then I feel old. But I have these 6 months to milk this two-year distance and feel like a whippersnapper.
Sure, sure.
And yeah. I relish that because I hate aging.
I'm actually a little... May is always a weird month for me. But at the end of the month, I'm a little concerned because I'm going to this... I'm a featured performer at this burlesque festival. At this sort of burlesque sideshow variety festival at the end of May.
Last month you said it was called ABS?
Absfest.
Okay.
Absfest is what the people in the know call it.
Right. And North Carolina.
Yes, in Asheville, North Carolina.
Correct.
And I'm in the Sunday brunch show. And from what I hear, it's a very, very popular show. It sells out every year. And they've been doing this for like 10 years. And I'm starting to get really nervous about it because I've never been... to a performer specific festival convention before.
Really?
Ever. Huh. Like I've gone to like Comic Cons and nerd events, but like I don't really consider when we were going to the Nerdapalooza. When we were going to Nerdapalooza, that was a music festival that I just happened to do a nerdy show at. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just different. That's just different to me. This feels from all of the information that I've gathered, people tend to regard this particular festival specifically as a like coming home, like you're visiting friends. It doesn't feel like a con. It doesn't feel like a festival. It feels like a gathering of like-minded individuals who really enjoy each other's company and support the arts and things like that.
People who attend any festival or any con would tell you that about any festival and any con.
No,
because that's a thing. Because it's a gathering of people that travel all over the place. That is not something that is
unique to them.
No, that's kind of the nature of going to conventions. Burlesque conventions, music festivals, they're all like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't go to them, so I don't really have that experience. Yeah. So I don't really know what they're talking about, to be honest. I'm really honored to have been accepted. I'm really honored to be able to perform for my peers in that way and be sort of be supported by and get to support people that I've only known on the internet for years and years. And I'm going to enjoy the performance aspect of it. It's everything immediately before and immediately after that I'm having, like, not misgivings, but just a lot of apprehension about.
Sure. You got to travel, cost a bunch of money. Who am I going to hang out with? Are people going to hate me? What do I do when I'm there? Do I eat all my meals alone? What happens at the hotel? Do I have to avoid parties? Are there going to be people there I don't like? Am I going to be expected to be social when I don't want to? Am I going to feel regretful if I'm not social when I should be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that.
All of that.
All of that.
Every time. Every single goddamn time.
You too?
Every con, music festival, everything I have ever done.
I guess I've just never done anything like this before. So,
but you kind of have. Nerdapalooza wasn't that much different for you.
You
had a cognitive reframe because you thought you were doing a separate thing. But you did it enough years that you still went down there and then you saw people that you had made connections with from previous years.
Sure.
And you still had time to kill around the thing until it was time for you to do your thing on a stage.
Right.
It wasn't as separate from it then.
But I have never gone to Nerdapalooza where I wasn't performing.
And you're not going to this festival where you're not performing either.
I see your point.
So.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be one of those instances where, you know, I'll get there and then all of that will just wash away and I'll be swept up in the, you know, but it's
daunting when you don't really know what to expect and you haven't done it before and you're like, oh gosh.
And the amount of people I know is really small compared to the amount of people I don't know. And I just get, stranger paralysis.
Sure.
And it's just, you know,
you're also old and depressed and anxious. So it gets worse with every year. You just don't have the benefit of having like many years of frames of reference of doing this. So now you're like, this is, this is gonna suck. They're all gonna laugh at me. They're all gonna laugh at me.
Well, no, I mean, I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna do the best 5 minute act I've ever
done.
You're
gonna kill it.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill it. That's not the part I'm worried about.
All right.
It's again everything immediately before.
Yes, I understand.
After.
It's all of the social aspect of it. The best part, the best time I ever have at South by Southwest are the moments on stage.
Yeah.
I love seeing my friends and I love
I'm just afraid. Fans, I'm just afraid that I'm going to end up like eating all of my meals alone and, you know, sitting alone while watching shows. And,
you won't.
You know, I mean, the one thing I hate, I mean, there's a lot of things I can tolerate. I can get used to a lot, as you well know, my dear friend, I almost to a detriment, of my own brain. But the one thing that crushes me and is the feeling of being alone in a room full of people.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that is guaranteed to break me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of, and I do everything in my life is to avoid that one feeling. And so I guess as long as I can avoid that, I'll be fine, but I'm afraid that that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You don't invest so much in that dread.
Right. Because
you turn that dread into an expectation.
Right, yeah, no, I realize it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point, yeah. But it's
you're going to be fine. You're going to see people there that you know that you're not even going to, that you don't even realize right now. Like right now,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know people that are going to be there. You know a handful of people.
I do know a handful of people.
You're going to see people there that you forgot that you knew, that you aren't anticipating. No, because you're so fixated on the potential negative outcomes that you're going to be like, oh my God, it's this person from this and this person from this.
Right, right, right.
And you're also going to make other friends because these things are kind of social. And also, after people see you perform, they're going to be all like, ho, 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 ho! I want to hang out with the wizard.
Well, I'm performing on the last show, on the last day of the festival.
But you're doing the brunch show, so there's still a whole day's worth of tacos and cocktails.
Tacos and cocktails.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I totally want tacos and cocktails.
I know.
So yeah, so that's, I mean, that's kind of like weighing on me. And, you know, I got my ticket squared away. I got my lodging squared away. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
You're going to have a great time. Record some field reports.
You know what? I might. You know what? If there's some variety performers out there that I really enjoy, I might interview them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always tell you I'm going to record field reports when I go.
And you'd never do.
I never do.
No, of course not. Of course not. And you know, and also like I don't like celebrating my birthday. So a lot of this stuff, like May, is just a rough month overall. Or rather, this month in particular has been a pretty.
I think that's
month.
Generational difference.
What do you mean?
I think your generation.
My generation
never really cared much about celebrating their birthdays. My generation made the birthday the big show of the year.
You're not.
We invented
that
cake,
dude,
and the little pointy hats,
dude.
We wrote the song,
dude.
But your people,
my people,
yes,
my people,
generation. Don't turn this into a race thing.
You turned it into a race.
It's an ageist thing.
I just don't. I've never liked celebrating my birthday.
I know.
Ever.
I have forced it on you so many years.
I know.
I remember one year scaring up a bunch of friends and going to
and you surprised
Afton
me.
In Astoria, Queens.
Yeah.
You were so bummed out.
I hated it. I hated every minute.
I remember one year I booked a burlesque show.
Yeah. And I tried to get out of it.
Tried to get out of it. I've learned I'll stop doing it.
No, I don't want my bad attitude to break you. Like, don't let me drag you down.
I can't make your birthday about me, dude.
That's never stopped you before.
No, that's the crux of what I'm saying right now is I'm changing my ways. All that other shit is in the past.
We'll see. We'll see what happens next year. But yeah.
What's up with that grant? Last month you said something about applying for a grant?
I did. I applied. The Bindlestiff Family Circus has an annual arts grant that they give out to two people. One person is awarded $1,000, another person is awarded $500 for a work that is both, what's the word I'm looking for? That's both sort of New York created and is sort of in the family of the variety arts, like magic, circus, acrobat, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's called the First of May Award, and because it's announced on May 1st of every year.
You know, that's when outdoor fucking starts.
So I've heard. And I applied, and I've applied a number of years, and I haven't gotten the grant. And this year, oh man, I worked on that application for like 2 weeks, getting it word perfect, like sculpting my description and my statement and what I have and what I need and what I'm planning. And I mean, just, I worked my fucking brain to the bone, and I didn't get anything.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. I mean, I got a very, very kind letter, which I'm going to assume that is not a form letter. I'm just going to assume that it was written for me, but it was probably, a lot of it was for me, basically saying, you know, hey, we got a lot of applications this year, you know, this isn't a judgment on you and your contribution to the art form or anything like that, but you know,
difficult choices had to be made.
Yeah, and so better luck next year. So I mean, I'll apply again next year.
How many grants similar to this have you applied for previously?
Not many. I've just started applying to grants this year.
Great. All of that hard work you poured into the Bindlestiff application?
Yeah, just put in the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, you didn't walk away from this empty-handed.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because...
not at all.
It gave you some discipline, which, as solo performers and creators, is sometimes hard to come by.
Yes, it is.
Motivation and discipline.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So there is a benefit to that, that you busted your ass
uh-huh.
to do this process.
Oh, absolutely.
And now you're like, I know how to do one of these things.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of material that I created that I can use for other things.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a grant, whether it's marketing, whether it's anything else, I now have stuff I can cut and paste into other things.
So. Right. It's still a silver lining with value to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But that said, I'm sorry you didn't get it.
Me too. I really could have used the money. I need $1,000 of money that is not my own to invest in this show, and I don't know where it's going to come from.
How much?
$1,000.
If you would like to contribute to Nelson Lugo's cheating death, send your contributions to epicpodcast@gmail.com. We do not have a PayPal account.
No, that's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Send your photos of money to epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Right. Contact me if you would like to be a sponsor of a future performance of Cheating Death by Nelson Lugo. So yeah, so I've been a little bummed.
It seems like it. Yeah. I mean, it's no secret that you've been bummed. I'm not even going to make the joke that I make all the time about how many years you've been bummed recently, forever, blah 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 blah. But you have, I know that like all of these things going on,
yeah,
like kind of left you down in the dumps. Is when things like this happen,
sure,
or when you are either bummed out or you are stressed out,
sure.
It really underscores this one thing that bothers me. This one deficit that I feel is lacking in our friendship.
Wait, what?
Bear with me here.
Okay. Do I not hug you enough?
No, we are plenty affectionate. It's fine.
Okay.
No, this is for your benefit, not mine.
Oh, all right.
People who are fans of the podcast and are just fans of us, they know a number of things about the two of us.
Okay.
They know that you love Batman and pie.
Yes, yes.
And they know that I love Star Wars and weed.
That's also true.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, in addition to these things, I also love Batman.
You do, a lot.
You also love Star Wars.
I do, a lot.
I have eaten a lot of pie.
That's true. I've brought over many a pie.
And then there's that one element.
All right, I see where this is going.
Hanging there.
Every year for Christmas, I ask you what you want, and the only answer you've given me for the past 6 years is smoke weed with me.
Yeah.
And my answer is always no.
I just, it's almost astonishing to me at this point. For our new listeners, we'll tell you this story that you've already heard a million times.
What's that?
Nelson Lugo has never used an illegal drug in his life.
That's true.
Not like he smoked weed at a party in college and right. was like, this is it for me, and never did it again.
Right.
He has never smoked weed.
I've never, ever smoked weed, ever.
My body is mostly drugs.
Half man, half drugs.
The drugs of Christmas past, the drugs that I've done all those other years. I don't do all those drugs anymore. And it's just always been strange to me. I have never had a friendship as important.
Sure.
Or as long
right.
as the one I've had with you.
Okay.
I've never had a relationship this long and this important with somebody who didn't smoke weed. Really? Yeah. Not like it's a huge problem, like a huge distancing factor in our friendship, but
okay.
it's just weird to me because I have smoked weed with casual friends and strangers and other longtime friends, but I've never had a relationship, like a friendship like the one that I have with you.
Uh-huh.
With somebody who has never smoked weed. And maybe it's me projecting all of my own chemical dependency
onto
this. But I find it has been wonderful over the years for treating my anxiety and fear and irrational dreading of everything that I do.
Okay.
It kind of levels me up.
All right. Yeah, I don't have a chemical outlet.
When you had cancer
yeah.
and you were nauseous all the time from the
yeah.
chemo,
yeah.
I was like, dude, sure. doctors, medical professionals
right.
say that one of the other effects of marijuana is it helps cancer patients, chemo yeah. patients with their nausea.
Oh, I know. Nausea.
This is like perfect opportunity.
It helps with nausea. It helps with appetite. It helps with sleep. It helps with pain.
I knew you weren't going to smoke it because...
No.
You were in the hospital. No. I'm not going to bring fucking weed to the hospital. But like, I made you cookies because I was like, these will help.
Yeah.
You didn't eat those.
No. No. I gave them to my sister. My sister loved them.
Yeah, I'll bet she did.
Her and her workplace buddies loved them.
There was a lot of weed dollars in those cookies.
And my sister appreciated every weed plant marijuana molecule.
I mean, at the very least, your sister could have gotten high with me. That would have been fun.
Is this... please don't go any further.
I'm going to say something insane right now.
Okay.
You are having a bad time, and you've been resistant to this thing your whole life. Sure. Nobody starts experimenting with drugs at 43.
Nobody.
Nobody does that.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Unless you're a crazy person.
Yes. Well, folks, maybe you are that crazy person, Nelson Lugo.
What are you getting at?
We have no guests this month.
No.
What if we did a little experiment? Yeah. That's good radio.
Well, you know what? You're not wrong. That wouldn't make for compelling radio for maybe, I don't know, four people.
What if you did something that you've never done? You did it for the first time, and then you did it in front of microphones, and we could pretend like we are collecting data on this as an experiment.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna record our findings.
Yeah,
we're gonna record our measurements.
Shittiest science ever.
Because it's not science unless you actually record the results.
You haven't said no once. Wait, hold that thought.
Okay,
folks, we're gonna take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
fuck you, Mary Jane. She never complains when I hit Mary with that flame I light up the cherry. She's so good to me when I pack a fresh bowl, I clean the screen. Don't get me stirred up the smoke through the bubbling waters, making it pure, so I got to take my hit and hold it just like Chong. I get the bowl and I reload it, get my four-footer and bring it on as I take hits from the bomb.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is a 43-year-old magician and storyteller from New York City. Full disclosure, he has never smoked weed. Welcome to the program, Nelson Lugo!
Hey!
Yeah. Now, folks, during the break, while you listen to, while you listen to Cypress Hill, I think I actually did the impossible, and I believe I have convinced Nelson Lugo to join me in this experiment.
I am only tangentially agreeing for the comedic effect.
I gotta say, I'm so glad that you are having your first experience smoking weed with me.
Aww.
I'm very touched. You could have with anybody over the years, but it's with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to share this with you because, like everything, this is an experience best shared with good friends.
Oh, that's very sweet, Schaefer.
We recognize that there is a possibility, given your incredibly delicate lungs and your asthma.
Yes.
That this could
end in a trip in the ER. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
If that happens, I'm coming and I'm bringing my mobile recording rig.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying that I hope you go to the ER tonight. I'm not saying that at all. But
Well, it'll be a very one-sided radio program because I won't be speaking to you.
Okay, so let me ask you just a couple quick preliminary questions.
Sure, sure.
Nelson Lugo, tell me everything you know about marijuana. Go.
I know that a lot of movies are called stoner movies.
Okay, that's a thing.
I know that there's a very popular 1950s movie called Reefer Madness, which was supposed to be a propaganda film, but is actually touted as being one of the greatest accidental comedies of all time.
It's hysterical.
I know that it's widely sort of the accepted thought is that it's going to be pretty much legal in the United States in the next sort of like 20 years or something.
It's certainly on its way.
States are slowly but surely changing the laws. Mm-hmm. It's still illegal in New York.
Yes.
Everything I know I've absorbed through pop culture. Like, I don't know anything specific about, I know there's funny names, you know, Pineapple Express. There's a movie called Pineapple Express that talks about a strain of pot weed called Pineapple Express.
You know the word strain. That's cool.
Well, I mean, you know, I took biology. I know what plants are.
You remember biology?
Enough.
Maybe because you didn't smoke weed for 20 years afterward.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. So you've really established that you don't know anything about it.
Almost everyone I know. Indulges in pot and in one form or another.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do all the time.
I don't think I've ever known you sober.
Oh, you've seen me sober.
Have I?
Sure.
Have I?
Here's the thing. I smoke weed. It has been a joy of mine throughout the years.
Yes, it has.
But I have long since outgrown smoking weed to get fucked up. I don't do it to get fucked up.
Okay.
I do it
just to take the edge off.
To just take the edge off my anxiety, my stress. It makes me not want to murder people on a crowded subway train at the end of the day. I do it just to calm down and relax.
Right.
And I take it in small doses. Just to do that.
Every time I've gone on tour, without fail, almost all of them get blasted every single night on as much weed as they can buy.
Wait, who does?
All the people that I've gone on tour with.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm just looking to relax.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through the eye of the dragon and smell colors every time and be disoriented.
Right.
I don't need that kind of psychedelic experience. I just want to calm down. And I think if applied that way to your various stressors,
sure,
I feel like it could be quite therapeutic and effective in doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're going to smoke some weed with me for the first time.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't believe I've won this victory.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I really can't.
I know. I can't either. It's going to be
I'm for the first time, I'm glad my parents are dead because they can't hear this.
Yeah. They will never be embarrassed by this.
No. I can no longer embarrass them.
Now that you've said that, I really deeply hope that my father and my stepmother are not listening to this.
Hello, Bud Schaefer.
God damn.
This is your son.
Okay. Anyway, there's a number of ways you can smoke it, ingest it. I don't like eating it. I think it's ridiculous.
And
eating it gets you too high, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I don't, like I said, I don't want that.
Sure.
We could roll a joint. We could put it in a pipe.
When was the last time you physically rolled a joint?
Oh, like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't realize you still did that.
Oh, I do. When
I only see you use your little one hitter.
Oh, no. When I travel, I smoke joints.
Okay.
Because I can take weed on a plane, but I'm afraid to take a pipe on the plane.
Okay.
Because pipes are made of metal.
That makes sense.
And weed is really easy to hide.
Sure.
If anybody would like to attend my workshop on how to travel via commercial airline with contraband, message me at epicpiecast@gmail.com.
True.
Okay. So you are going to take a bong hit. Because that is the proper way to do it.
Okay. So what you're holding in your hand right now is a purple glass.
It is plastic, and damn right it's purple.
Okay. It's plastic. It's purple. It looks like a vase.
Yes.
With a little nipple jutting out the side of it.
Okay.
And I guess I have a question.
Sure.
What is a bong?
Okay.
And I have a follow-up.
Yes.
How does one smoke from it?
Okay. A bong is a water pipe.
Okay. What does that mean?
There are, well... Water pipes go back, I mean, thousands of years.
What's the point of the water?
People have different explanations of that. Some people say that when you smoke weed in a bong, that if the smoke passes through water, that it filters out the impurities and the stuff you don't need and just gives you the pure THC, which is the active psychoactive chemical.
Okay, that makes sense.
Other schools of thought, because water pipes have existed long before marijuana consumption in like hookahs.
That is true.
That the water actually cools the smoke to make it easier.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Oh. I don't know which one of these is true or accurate. I just know that for me, it's more about the bong. Using a bong is like it's ceremonial. You know, you have to like clean it, and you have to fill it with water, and you have to pack it, and there's like a whole process to it, and that part I like, and also I just like taking bong hits.
All right,
so that's what you're gonna do.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a name for that crusher weed you're about to force into my lungs?
I don't want to talk about the strain of it just yet.
Okay,
I'll get to that later.
Okay.
Now this is how this works.
Okay.
So the little nipple is sticking out the side.
Sure.
I'm gonna put the weed in here.
Okay, that goes in there.
Yes.
Right.
Now on the back of this, there's a little hole.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yes. And you put your thumb on the hole.
Why?
Because you're creating an airtight seal here.
I see.
This way, this is just like this. The only openings are here where you put the top where you put your mouth.
Right.
And this the little nipple, as you called it. I'm just gonna call the bowl. It's a bowl.
It's called a bowl.
I'm going to call it a nipple for
No, seconds. No, no. We can call it a bowl. I didn't know what it was called before. So the bowl.
You put the weed in there.
Right.
And then you draw smoke. You draw the air by inhaling through the tube.
Sure.
You pull the flame into the
bowl.
Weed, and then the smoke burns. It goes down through this metal tube inside.
Right.
Bubbles in the water.
Sure.
Those bubbles burst and the smoke fills up the chamber.
Got it.
When the chamber is filled up, this little hole in the back is called a carburetor.
Okay.
Or carb.
A carb.
And then once this is full, you remove that And that allows additional air to pass through, and you can just clean this whole thing, and it just goes straight up in your lungs.
Okay, hold on, hold on. So when the hole in the back is closed,
yes,
you're inhaling, but you're not actually getting any smoke.
You are. It's mostly for filling it, but it's about a 1 foot bong, so it'll fill pretty quickly, and you will still get some of the smoke.
I see.
Even with it clear.
But then as soon as you release your thumb, you're getting the full.
You're just emptying. This thing will just fill with thick white smoke.
And then the thick white smoke will go into my lungs.
You will just clear that and it'll go into your lungs.
I'm going to die tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to.
You're not
going to
die.
I would like to just say that if I die tonight, I want all of my vintage luggage and books to go to my partner in Baltimore. And then the rest of my crap gets divvied up amongst Schaefer the Dark Lord and my sister. Go.
You know, if you die tonight, you will become famous.
Why? Because I died from weed?
You'll be the first person to ever die from weed. Now, that's not including things like car accidents.
Well, sure.
But nobody has ever overdosed from marijuana.
I'm not concerned about being overdosed. I'm concerned about my tissue paper lungs tearing.
Oh, they've saved you every other time. They're going to be fine. They got real good doctors over there at Mount Sinai.
That's true. That's true. I'm getting really tense.
Yeah. Good. This is going to really level you out then.
Holy shit.
Okay, so actually, here, you take this.
Okay. All right.
Oh, shit. I spilled a little water. Don't get that on you because that stuff doesn't smell good. It's fresh water.
Oh.
I don't keep bong water. I don't leave it in there. I'm a grown up.
Oh, my. This is plastic.
Yeah.
Wait, so am I putting my lips where you put your lips? Is that sanitary?
Do you want me to wipe it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just make sure you put them on the inside, not the outside. I've seen some first timers like wrap their mouth around
deep throat.
Yeah, and you're like.
You don't deep throat a bong?
No, no.
Is that
you
what
don't.
You're saying?
I've seen people do it, and it's hilarious every time. Right? Yeah, that's not how it works.
Okay. Do not deep throat the bong. That's a tip. That's a pro tip from Shaving the Dark Lord to you guys.
Okay. So.
Oh, man. This thing smells horrible.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, of course it does. It's a bong.
Okay. How long have you had this?
A few years.
All right.
I don't use it that often.
Of course.
This is a special occasion.
Yeah.
Oh, I normally just put it in a one-hitter, and then I forget my problems.
See. Okay, you're bringing it out because of me.
Yeah, well, it's a big show.
I am your father.
Oh, this is going to be great. Okay, so, tell you what, I'll hold the lighter for you.
Okay.
And then you will draw it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I didn't even have to tell you to do the I thought I was going to have to say. Yeah.
I hate you.
I know. I'm very impressed. You did that really well. I thought I was going to have to say, fill it up and take your thumb off the hole. And you did the whole thing. That was a pretty big hit. Too.
That hurts.
Yeah. How's that feel? It hurts. Yeah. You know, there are some schools of thought that say things that, that coughing like that is beneficial to the effects. And here's the fake stoner science behind that.
Okay.
They say, you okay?
Yeah.
You want some water?
Yes.
Okay, here, drink this. There you go. That'll make it
fun. Okay.
fucking can't believe you did it.
Is that it? Do I have to do that again?
No, you're
okay,
good. Okay,
good.
We're just going to hang out for
good.
A minute.
Okay.
Just wait.
I'm not.
It'll take a minute.
That was unpleasant.
Yes. I know.
Wait, and you do this for fun?
Yes.
And people that was, do this for fun?
That was the device that cools the smoke, too. So it's harsher if you do it otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there are some schools of thought that believe that, because fake stoner science believes that is beneficial to increasing the effects.
What, bongs?
No, coughing.
Oh, why?
That when you cough, it opens up the capillaries in your lungs, man, and that you're taking deeper breaths in between those coughs, that you are like,
oh, I see,
absorbing the smoke deeper into your lungs.
Is that actual science, or is that
I don't know
stoner
if it's
science?
I think they started there's this little rhyming catchphrase that people would like to use when you cough really hard. They go, hey man, the more you cough, the more you get off. I think they started with that and worked backwards and wrote the science.
I hate stoners. I officially hate stoners,
but I don't know. But you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just. You hear that?
Yeah.
I'm wheezing now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, just let me know if we need to go to the ER. Okay. So anyway, you're probably not feeling anything yet, and you won't maybe for a few minutes.
Okay.
But I should tell you this too.
What's
There's
that?
A possibility you're not going to feel anything.
Oh, really?
I don't know. This is more, maybe this is more stoner science. Okay. And I've heard this repeated in a few circles, but I can vouch from my own experience that it's the case that some people claim that the first time a person who has never smoked weed, which would be you and sure. your perfectly pink lungs, they must be so pink, that the first time, for some reason, it doesn't work. Like, you're priming your brain for future experiences. Like, I was in high school the first time I smoked weed, and mm-hmm. I smoked weed with a bunch of my friends. Maybe we had shitty weed. Maybe we didn't know, but we smoked pot like a number of occasions, and we'd all act like we were stoned because there was an expectation. You get weird, man. Huh. That things get weird. But then there was this one time we got some weed and we smoked it and we went down to the Pizza Hut in my hometown. And then I realized that, yeah, I'd never really gotten high before because everything got really,
really, really intense and weird and insane.
What's happening
like
to your voice?
Nothing I had ever felt before.
What's happening to my voice?
Different than any of those other experiences, and that's
what's happening?
Oh, are you high?
I don't know.
I think you are high.
Oh, dear.
You're fucking high! Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to announce Nelson Lugo has gotten stoned. Ta-da!
Merry Christmas, Schaefer. Oh,
I've waited my whole life to see this. I'm.
Oh, this is.
How's it feel?
Weird.
Yeah. It's just starting.
Wait, there's more?
Well, sometimes. I don't know. I don't remember what it's like to get high for the first time.
Wait, aren't you getting high too?
Oh, you mean right now?
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
Why not?
I'm actually out of weed.
You can't. Hold on.
Look, I only
wait,
had a...
Wait. Wait a minute.
I only had...
You gave me the last of your weed?
I only had a little bit left. I wasn't planning to smoke tonight. I only had a little bit left, but since you were open to doing this, I thought I'd give you the rest of it.
I feel bad now.
Don't feel bad for it. I called...
Did I Bogart your weed?
No,
is
but...
Is that a stoner thing?
Good use of dated stoner lingo. I actually... During the break, I texted my dealer, so he's bringing me more weed. So I'm not...
Wait.
Don't worry. I'm not
You get that shit delivered?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Oh, that is absolutely a thing. They're like... Wow. They're like mid-level dealers who get like weed, and then they give it to their street guys, who are usually like bike messengers or whatever, and then they'll like hand out business cards.
Business cards?
Yeah. They're just like a bud leaf and a phone number, and then they just drive around all day and make weed deliveries. It's so easy to get weed in New York, and I've got one of these.
Do you think they make a lot of money?
I don't think they do.
Do you tip your weed dealer?
I don't, and I wouldn't.
Is that a okay? So nobody does.
I don't know. They might. I don't like to spend too much time with them because I don't want them to like start thinking.
Wait! Stop! Stop talking! Stop talking! Do you hear that?
Do I hear what?
Do you hear that music?
I do not hear music.
Is that bleeding in from next door?
No, but you know what might be happening.
Wait, what's happening?
You might be having an auditory hallucination. This is pretty common.
You did not... you did not mention that as part of the things that might or may not happen before I asked. Remember I asked you a bunch of questions, what could happen? Auditory hallucinations doesn't sound like healthy things.
We spend a lot of time trying to avoid spoilers, right?
Oh, God, I think...
I had to guess, I would assume that what you are hearing is the last thing you heard before you get high, which is probably Cypress Hills Hits from the Bong, which is just this... echo in your brain that the weed is hanging on to. That's also not real
science. That's a good song.
Yeah, again, it's not real science, but it isn't uncommon for you to hear things that aren't actually happening.
That's weird.
I hear it all the time. I think somebody's in my apartment, or I hear music that I think is bleeding through somebody's wall.
Wow.
Or just
Oh, wait, what was that?
I'm sorry, what?
I just... Nothing. I just heard. I just heard a thing.
Again, yes, you're probably hearing.
Wait, no. Stop talking. That's something different. What is that?
There's nothing in my headphone, dude.
No, dude, I'm not hearing Cypress Hill. I'm hearing things. I'm hearing like.
Okay. You're having audio hallucinations.
Okay.
And if I had to guess, based on what I know of you,
uh-huh,
you are probably hearing old timey cartoon sound effects.
Oh my God, you're right.
I have no idea how many times I've heard phones ringing.
Fuck, what?
And it's cool. It's cool, man.
No, wait. No.
You're getting...
Stop.
There's nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing actually there. All right. There.
Okay.
You're cool.
Good.
It's just you.
All you're right.
The only one that hears these things.
Really?
Yes.
It's fucking loud.
It's a silent studio.
God damn it.
I have heard voices of cops. I have heard.
Shit, what the fuck?
Okay, Lugo,
shit.
Lugo, stop.
Whoa.
Stop, settle down, just
what?
A second. Don't get.
What?
Dude, don't. This isn't going to turn into a bad experience.
Okay.
Just settle down. Lugo, have you ever seen the movie Batman Forever?
What? Yeah, of course I have. You know I have.
Right. Do you know, at the end of the movie, during the credits, there's that song that plays, it's Seal's Kiss from a Rose. Do you know that song?
Yeah, I know that song. Who doesn't know that song?
Okay, cool.
Wait, why?
Just making sure.
Okay. Weird.
You asked me earlier about strains of weed, and even though I love weed, I don't really like the culture of it, and I find the names of the strains to be ridiculous. They're always called ridiculous things like, you know, blueberry train wreck, and a guy once tried to sell weed to me. It said it was called ghost weed because when you smoke it, man, you can hear ghosts. Yeah, weed culture is obnoxious. So maybe I got some Hanna-Barbera weed and that's what's happening and why you're hearing these things now. Whatever, this strand is called Sour Diesel. I don't really care what it means, and when my dealers break out like multiple strands, I don't care. I just want, to me, it's all the same stuff. None of this is important to me.
Baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave.
Dude.
No. Sorry.
Oh, so that worked.
What worked?
You know how you get earworms? Normally, a song
sure.
Getting your, oh boy, those things are so easy to plant when a person is high.
Did you plant an ear?
I did. I planted.
You're evil.
I know, and I would like to apologize.
You're a dick.
I know. I would like to apologize. I'm sorry. That's not for you.
Yeah.
That's for both of our listeners.
You just because they now too now.
Have kissed from a rose.
Oh my God, you are an asshole.
Settle down. You're gonna be all right.
You're okay.
Earworms are easy to plant. The power of suggestion is really easy when a person is stoned. And music, a person is very vulnerable to music. Oh my God, music! Lugo, all of the weed music that you missed out on.
Weed music?
Yeah, there's so much music that is either about weed or is written to enhance the experience of smoking weed that is mostly only there for generations, for teenagers when they first discover pot. You missed out on Pink Floyd.
Oh my God. What the hell am I doing? What the hell did I agree to? Jesus fucking Christ, I'm an idiot. Fuck. God, I hate my job. Why is it that everybody is better at what they do than I do at anything? Oh my God. I made Tara McAleer cry in the sixth grade. That was horrible. I'm a monster. Fuck. You know, I think being a magician was the wrong choice. I mean, the only other worse profession I could have picked was maybe mime or poet. At least I get paid doing that. God damn it. I really could have used that grant. They fucking hate me. What did I do to deserve? Why do they hate me? Oh my God. Everything I touch just turns to shit. And wait, what?
I just said that I don't understand why Jimmy Buffett is considered pop music. It's boring high. It's boring not high.
Wait, what? Okay.
Oh, you're having like a whole experience now.
Yeah, I don't.
It's okay, man. You're probably a little confused.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I know. Are you all right?
I don't know.
Look, it's going to be. Wait. Oh, hold on.
Wait, what? What's that?
Oh, my dealer's here.
Oh.
I'll be right back.
Wait, what?
I'm just going to run downstairs.
No.
I don't invite weed dealers into my house because I don't want to be friends with them. I just got to run downstairs and get it from them.
Oh,
what? I'm just going downstairs.
No, just, okay, can I come with you?
No, just, no, because I don't want to have to explain you to him. You are not really in a condition to meet new friends, especially those who are drug dealers.
Don't leave me here alone.
You're going to be fine.
I'm not going to be fine. What are you?
I'm going to be gone like a minute.
What the hell am I supposed to do while you're gone?
I don't know. Just talk to yourself.
What?
Just talk to yourself. It'll pass the time. You'll be fine. You're not going to die.
Okay.
You're going to be totally fine.
All right.
I'm just going to go get some weed and then I'll come back up. You're going to be fine.
Okay.
Chill out.
Okay.
Talk to yourself.
Okay.
Everything's cool.
Okay.
Okay, cool. I'll be right back.
I hate you. Oh my God, I hate him so much. What the hell am I supposed to do? Talk to myself. Talk to myself. I talk to myself all the time. I don't care about talking to myself. See, you can talk to yourself all day long. It's how you answer yourself that makes you crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is a New York City-based magician and storyteller who, up until this point, has never used an illegal drug in his entire life. Please welcome to the program, Nelson Lugo. What the fuck is going on? Yeah. What the fuck is going on, Nelson Lugo? What happened? Okay, I don't know. I don't know either. All I know is that you've spent the past 43 years maintaining your body as a temple. And tonight, for whatever reason, you decided to be peer pressured into doing an illegal activity by a 40-something-year-old man-child. Look, in my defense, he's very persuasive. Also, I take umbrage with the idea of treating my body like a temple. Do you know how much fried chicken we eat? We eat a lot of fried chicken. Oh, I am well aware of how much fried chicken we eat. That shit is delicious. But you committed a crime tonight. I know. Oh my God, what the hell am I doing? We've been so good for so long. You ruined us. Hold on now. I ruined us? You ruined us. Oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? There. As much as I would like to blame Schaefer for this, no, you didn't put a gun to my head. I did this willingly. I am second guessing every choice I've made from birth right up until this moment that led to this poorly thought out endeavor. Well, that's terrific. Look, I just want you to know that no matter what you do or how you live your life, you will always be a deep disappointment to me. Yeah, I hate you too. Who is it? Who is it?
It's me, Schaefer. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
Who is it?
It's me, Schaefer, man. Open up. I got the stuff.
Who?
It's Schaefer, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here. What the hell?
Who is it?
It's Schaefer, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Schaefer, man. Open up.
Schaefer?
Yeah, Schaefer. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me.
Schaefer's not here.
No, man. I'm Schaefer, man. Hey, come on, man.
Who is it?
It's Schaefer, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Schaefer, man. Open up.
Schaefer?
Yeah, Schaefer.
Schaefer's not here.
What the hell? No, man. I am Schaefer, man. Will you... Come on, open up the door, will you? I got the stuff with me. I think the cops saw me.
Who is it?
What the hell? Man, open up the door. It's Schaefer.
Who?
Schaefer! S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R! Will you open up the goddamn door?
Schaefer?
Yeah, Schaefer!
Schaefer?
Right, man, Schaefer! Now, will you open the door?
Schaefer's not here.
So this particular story,
holy shit, where the fuck did you come from?
Dude.
Holy fucking fuckballs.
You got up, you let me in the apartment, we sat back down, I'm telling you about the weed I bought.
What?
You're so fucking high.
When the hell was that?
Okay. Anyway, this strain that I got from my weed dealer just now.
Yeah.
Is called Paisley Skeletor.
Holy shit.
Yes, it's appropriately stupid.
Paisley Skeletor.
For a strain of weed. Yeah, I told you, man. I don't.
Somebody had to name that.
I know they did. They were very.
A human being sat down with a huge open world of options available to them. Mm-hmm. And then they came up with the combination Paisley and Skeletor, and they said to themselves, nailed it.
Yeah.
I hate that person.
It was inspired by the fact that this weed tastes like weed and other every other weed. Anyway, okay. So are you you're okay over there, yeah?
I don't know anymore, man. Okay.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, I'm going to fucking
yeah.
I'm going to come to space with you.
Holy shit. Okay.
You're not alone. I'm going to go ahead and join you and Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Here we go.
What's this? Oh, okay. Right. Holy shit! God damn! That's a lot. Oh, man. That's a lot.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I'm really enjoying the Schadenfreude right now.
I'm so used to.
Do you want to take? You want to get take a break
I'm
to get
good.
A drink?
Good.
No, you need a beer.
I'm so used to. I'm so used to using my one hitter all the time that. Got a little soft. I haven't used my bong in a while.
Oh, damn. Take it easy there, old man.
I'm okay. I got this. Oh, my God.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
He's a bitch.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's better. It feels like a stunt smoking out of a bong now. You know, over the years, all the many people that I've smoked weed with, there's always been so many like kind of sport ways to use it. You know, first there was a bong and then that wasn't enough. And then somebody attached a bong end to like a gas mask. So you're actually filling like,
oh my God,
face with it. And then people started inventing.
He's still talking.
Gravity bongs were so hot. And
does he ever shut the fuck up? Oh my God. We're recording this. Everybody knows. Everybody knows I did a thing. Great. I'm no longer going to be remembered for the shitty magician that I am, but except as the guy who took a hit of fucking pot with Schaefer that one. Why do I ruin everything? I wonder if the circus does drug tests. Will this show up in a drug test like 6 months from now? Am I forever tainted? Is it like rings on a tree? Like, can they just tell? Like, I did a thing?
Oh, hey, buddy.
Wait, Schaefer?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Wait, what are you? Are you inside my head?
I am. That other guy down there is talking too much.
Oh my God, he won't shut up.
How's it going?
I don't know. It's weird. But I'm glad you're here.
You're not alone anymore, man.
I'm not alone anymore.
Hey, man, you want to hear my impression of Carol Ann from Poltergeist?
That's all I want to hear right now.
Okay, check it out. Mommy. There's somebody here.
That's good. That's really good, actually. That's better than I thought it was going to be. I was just humoring you before, but that was actually really good.
I appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you.
Are you feeling better? Are you enjoying this drug anymore?
Well, I feel better now that you're here.
As I said before, like everything, it's an experience best shared with good friends.
Aw, that's sweet.
Listen to Pink Floyd, dude.
Okay, let's go listen to Pink Floyd. That's good.
So, how do you feel?
I feel sleepy and hungry.
And?
Nothing that bothered me a few hours ago really matters right now.
And what did you learn?
I learned that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There's no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves.
Would you do it again?
No, not at all.
So, plugs.
Plug.
Do you have plugs?
Yeah.
Go.
I forgot. I don't know.
I don't actually know either.
All right. This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 40, Trays. I've been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Shape of the Dark Lord.
Yeah. Be safe, internets.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpiecast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
There used to be a great tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remained a drug that's the high, not the pill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can be seen? Baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the gray. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the gray. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba-da.
I didn't smoke it.